You're welcome. This is the Pulse. It's Wednesday, and we have a very exciting package for you this afternoon. Now, let's start from the Supreme Court, where MP Roxanne Nelson Dafiamepo has been attempting to use the legal procedure to halt, if you like, frustrate the vetting and approval of President Akufo-Addo's ministerial nominees. In the last few hours, the five-member panel of the court dismissed the injunction application, describing a frivolous and abuse of the court processes. Well, my colleague Kwaku Asante has been in court all morning and is here with me in the studio. Kwaku, so walk us through what happened today. Before the hearing, the NEC had raised issues about bias on the part of the Supreme Court or the judicial service in the way it scheduled cases. So walk us through from the morning up to when the court took that decision.
This morning, the NDC put out a statement very early on attacking the Supreme Court for what they believe was political and biased scheduling of cases. So journalist and lawyer Richard Elaskai has filed a case against Parliament and the Attorney General seeking to challenge the process by which Parliament passed the anti-gable and also its constitutionality. So there's that case that was filed about two, three weeks ago. Then there's this case filed by the NDC MP, Roxanne Nelson Dafiamepo, also challenging the basis upon which the President had sought to reassign some ministers. Again, a brief background. The President had written to Parliament clearly in announcing that he was reshuffling certain ministers. But in the public statement that was put out by Eugene Ahen, there was a part that said that the minister's appointment had been revoked.
Right.
And that in the same letter, they had been reassigned. And that is what Roxanne Nelson Dafiamepo is
And these are people like Kojo Ponkroma,
Amin Adam, Francis Asenso Boache, Henry Kote, and those ministers that were reshuffled with one deputy, Honorable Abanga. So because of this, Roxanne Nelson Dafiamepo files the case on the 21st of this month, seeking to challenge that process. On the 22nd, the Speaker of Parliament delivers a rebuke of the President's refusal, as it were, to receive the anti-LGBTQ bill and take it on. And in that same statement says that because of this anti-LGBTQ, because of this case filed against the ministers, and the injunction application filed, I am unable to proceed and get a house. We later learned that actually
there was no
injunction application at the time because it was only the bare writ that had been filed, and part of the release that Roxanne Nelson Dafiamepo was seeking was an interlocutory injunction.
Right.
But the lawyers will tell you that you cannot put an interlocutory injunction relief in those body of reliefs that was sought. But be that as it may, he later proceeds substantively to file that action, and the Supreme Court said this morning to hear that. The NDC's position is that if you see that a case has been filed against the Speaker of Parliament and the AG on the LGBTQ bill weeks before the Dafiamepo case was filed, and the court is actually proceeding to hear the case that was filed later, it means that the court is trying to back or support the President to get his ministerial nominees through. So that is the first angle.
But I understand that the CJ has some comments on this matter.
The Chief Justice was categorical that the delay in hearing cases has nothing to do with the court. It has everything to do with parties and their willingness to prosecute the case.
Right.
If someone files a case in court and he's unable to prosecute this, he's unable to push it and get it fixed for hearing, that cannot be the basis of that cannot be a basis for anybody to claim that the court is doing something. Of course, not directly responding to the NDC, but responding to those general concerns. And later on, we'll hear from the Attorney General on what he might have done to get the court to hear this case expeditiously. Right. So back to what happened in court today. When the case was called, normally what will happen is the plaintiff will have to be on his feet or his representation will have to be there with his lawyers. Roxanne Nelson Dafiamepo was not in court today when the case was filed. There was no explanation to the court as to why
the primary litigant in this matter.
In fact, the plaintiff, the guy prosecuting this case, was not in there. His lawyer was also not there. But the Speaker of Parliament was represented by Thaddeus Sori. The Attorney General, who's also a party to the suit, was represented by the Attorney General himself and then the Deputy Diana Sunabadapa. So those persons were there. And then the courts, one of the officers of the court speaks to the Chief Justice off the record. But the Chief Justice exasperates because she's heard something that shocks her.
Right.
So she calls for the bailiff to come to the court immediately. And it's not also a very regular sight in court for a court bailiff to be put in the box to offer some facts to the court. So the court bailiff is put to the court to testify as to certain things he had written in his proof of service. So the bailiff tells the court, that he goes to Nick Papu Samuado, who is the lawyer for the MP, Roxanne Nelson Dafiamepo, and attempts to serve on him the hearing notice as well as the affidavit in opposition filed by the Attorney General. And when he goes there, he doesn't meet He meets a lady called Na. And Na tells him that she's operating under the express instruction of Nipapo Samuara that she should not entertain any process whatsoever from anybody. She should not take anything of the sort.
Including
from the court. And this is what the bailiff is telling the court under oath. And that means that if this is found to have been before us, there will be perjury, there will be consequences for the bailiff. So that's what the bailiff tells the court. So the court opens up and listens to both the attorney general and Thaddeus Corey. The attorney general consequences for the bailiff. So that's what the bailiff tells the court. So the court opens up and listens to both the attorney general and Thaddeus Corey. The attorney general and asks the court to take some strong actions on that. The court does not say anything about that, but then decide to take some recess. About 5 minutes, they come back. Mm-hmm. And the decision is that because the process was actually...
Same application, you stood on and decided not to allow parliament to approve the minister.
Exactly. He says he's opposed to that application. Because the Supreme Court has, in a number of cases, laid out the principles by which the Supreme Court can grant an interlocutory injunction. And the current application filed by the NDCMP does not meet that test.
Right.
And because of that, the case should simply be dismissed. Then they hear from the Attorney General as well, who also makes a similar case, and says that by virtue of some of the things that have happened, he does not believe that the plaintiff had met the test for the interlocutory application injunction to be heard, to be actually granted. So the Supreme Court should also dismiss that. Of course, the Attorney General himself makes copious reference to law and also explains quite in the detail why he believes that that case does not merit the favor of the court.
Right.
So the court now has to make a decision.
And in the absence of lawyer
and the
plaintiff.
And the plaintiff, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the court does not even go back. They sit there, confer with each other, and then the Chief Justice proceeds to write the ruling of the court into a notebook and then release it to court. The Supreme Court, 5-member panel, presided over by the Chief Justice herself. And then there's Justice Yao Asaridako. Mm-hmm. There's Justice Mariam Owusu, Justice Amadou Tanko, and then one other justice that I've forgotten. I'll get the name in there. So this five-member panel of the Supreme Court, unanimously dismisses the application of the NDCMP, describing it as an abuse of the court process. We now understand that Roxy Nelson, the former court, on the 25th, had filed another injunction application on the ministerial ministers who have been reassigned, because in his opinion, the first one did not properly capture them.
Right.
But the court also dismissed that, struck that out, and called it duplicitous and an abuse of the court process. So the court said the injunction application, the one that had been just heard, was frivolous. Mm-hmm. That is the words of the Chief Justice. Frivolous and an abuse of the court process. And then proceeds to dismiss it.
So this is how this matter ended. And then so now before the court, and I don't know whether you have been able to understand why the Member of Parliament for South Dive and his lawyer were not in court today.
In fact, some of our digging shows, and I've reached out to both of them, they're not speaking to the record yet. And so, but our understanding from some of the information we've been picking from sources is that they claim that they have not been served with a hearing notice, and that they were not aware that even the court was going to sit today. And that, in fact, Nipapo Samuado has caused for a search to be filed at the Supreme Court Registry to find out whether a date had been set for the hearing. Mm-hmm. And that the Registrar of the Supreme Court had decided that this morning we're going to answer to the search.
Right.
We do not have the answer to the search yet. Mm-hmm. We do not have that detail. So they were not there, but our understanding from all the things we've been able to glean is that they say they were not aware the court was going to hear the case today. Of course, by way of a service on them, or in terms of the hearing notice, yes.
So this is the same matter that the NDC released a statement on. The same matter some members of parliament also spoke about. And yet the claim is that they were not aware that the case was going to be heard today
in
court.
In fact, the claim is that officially, you know, there will be a hearing notice. Normally, if you go to the court registry, they can give you a date for hearing and they will endorse it on your processes. Other times, the case will be scheduled at a time you are not there. Mm-hmm. So they would have to serve on you a hearing notice. And that is what the bailiff says he attempted to do yesterday.
That was
unsuccessful. And he was instructed that, listen, you can't do that. And so he actually just dropped it there and is considered as proof of service.
And you spoke to the Attorney General after this?
Yes, we did try to speak to the Attorney General, and he is categorical. He is excited that as far as he is concerned, the Supreme Court has done what is right by dismissing this case. The case of the plaintiff was just spurious in his opinion, and that what the court has done is the right thing to do. Listen to the AG.
and there ought not to be any manipulation of what went on in court. Even Parliament itself was opposed to the application.
On the cases that are being heard, there are those who have taken the view that some cases were filed 2 weeks prior to this case being filed, and the Supreme Court has proceeded to deal with it. The Chief Justice himself has raised issues about persons not prosecuting their own cases. What do you make of it?
Yes, I mean, as I said, it's most unfortunate that persons will file processes before the court and then fail to take an interest in it. And indeed, even when the same application for interrogatory injunction is pending has not been determined, a day before, they proceed to go and file another application for interrogatory injunction. There cannot be a greater demonstration of a desire to abuse the court process than this. Clearly, it shows an attempt to frustrate the Republic from pursuing its business and all. And that is why it's necessary that as lawyers for the Republic, we take a keen interest in whatever happens and make sure that such things are dealt with so that the state business can proceed. On record in Parliament, it's a letter that I wrote to the Speaker asking him to reconsider his decision and all. So I expect Parliament, after having come to the Supreme Court, to oppose this application to also reconvene and deal with the matter relating to the approval of the ministers. There's nothing at all that impedes or inhibits Parliament from doing its work. They ought to do their work. And I think that the adjournment of proceedings was most unjustified, yes, and uncalled for.
Right, so Kwaku Asante is still here with me in the studio. So Kwaku, the issue about the anti-LGBTQ bill, and Roxanne has another case pending before the Supreme Court, asking the court to compel the president to assent to it, even though there's a matter before the same court. Did the AG speak to this matter?
So when it comes to the mandamus application that has been filed by Roxanne Nelson Defemipo, the court is here to set a date for that. Mm-hmm. So that is still pending. But it's a case filed by legal practitioner and journalist Rachel Delasky, mm-hmm. which is seeking to stop the hands of the president from taking any action. And in fact, the president has cited that as the basis for which reason he's unable to receive the anti-LGBTQ bill and signify whether or not he's going to assent to it. And so I put the question to the Attorney General that there have been concerns, and the NAC have been leading that fight by saying that why are certain cases filed weeks prior to another? Mm-hmm. And the cases that are most latest, the most recent cases are rather called. The Attorney General says the court has a discretion in terms of how to settle some of those matters. And actually, when it comes to the hearing of this case, mm-hmm. he's actually the one who got the court to hear the case earlier. I asked him again, are you going to get the anti-LGBTQ bill? He says, that is not his business. The lawyer and the plaintiff would have to prosecute that himself. Listen to the AG.
The position that if Richard Sky does not prosecute this case, the Supreme Court is not going to hear it, and the hand of the president is going to be stayed on this bill up until Richard Sky decides that he takes an interest in this matter.
Well, if Richard Sky does not prosecute the matter, the application will be dismissed. The process he has filed in court will be dismissed. Okay, yes, hold on. I think that the duty to fix the date for hearing rests in the registry of the Supreme Court. And I do not understand where this business of people actually scrutinizing when applications are fixed for hearing or why this application has been for hearing even came from. Back in the days, if you file an application in the Supreme Court of Ghana, it takes even 3 months for you to have a date for hearing. It is only after a party has made an application for an expeditious determination of the process that the matter will come up for hearing. And indeed, in the record, we show that this particular case, for the record, it must be indicated that I specifically applied for an expeditious determination of the matter. I applied for an expedited hearing of the application. So it is not the Supreme Court of Ghana picking and choosing which applications to hear and not to hear. Any party to any matter, the days I used to do it even when I was in opposition. So indeed, it is always the prerogative of the Supreme Court registry to face applications for hearing. And if the date for hearing has not been fixed or is perhaps too far, it is incumbent on the party to apply to the Chief Justice in accordance with the Courts Act and the Constitution of the Republic for an expedited hearing.
For an expedited hearing in the Richard Sky case.
So I think you should ask the plaintiff. The plaintiff is the one who instigated the action. The plaintiff is the one who instigated the action, and the plaintiff ought to bear the responsibility for the conduct of the matter. I'm not going to conduct the case for the plaintiff.
Right, so Kwaku, the other matter is why the AG is bent on getting lawyer for Roxanne Defemipo punished by the court.
The Attorney General is categorical that he considers that a lawyer who has filed processes in court mm-hmm. to instruct his assigns not to accept court documents. He says it's the highest form of disrespect. And in fact, he pressed the Supreme Court to take a decision there and then on this matter. The court declined. They did not say much. The Chief Justice said, this is a matter they will deal with it. Of course, the substantive suit is pending. Russell Nelson Lafayette McCall has so many cases around it. And I'm sure the court will get ample time to deal with it. So the Attorney General, outside of the court again, says there's no way this should be allowed to stand, and that, in his opinion, the court must assert its authority in this matter to preserve its the respect and integrity.
For lawyer who has filed an application in the matter to direct a rejection of the affidavit of petition that has been filed by the other side, I mean, it's really, for me, gross professional misconduct. Be that as it may, the court proceeded to deal with the matter, and that is it. I think that was very unfortunate, especially as the same counsel was in the same day filing processes in the Supreme Court of Ghana. Earlier in the morning, he was rejecting processes from the Supreme Court of Ghana, and then in the afternoon, proceeded to file processes in the same Supreme Court of Ghana. And I think the processes of the highest court of the Republic ought to be respected. The dignity and authority of the court always ought to be protected and respected by all counsel, and that is the point I sought to make in court.
All right, so that's the Attorney General, Minister for Justice, Godfred Yeboah Adame. And we'll bring you more reactions from the camp of Roxanne Nelson Dafiamepo, the Member of Parliament for South Dai, who went to court. But when the case was called, he was nowhere to be found, together with his lawyer. Now, some explanation, unofficial though, has been provided. The NDC, even before the case would be heard, had made some, you know, allusions to the fact that why would the court choose to hear, why would the court hear this case when similar cases have been filed regarding the anti-gay bill, and yet the court will move on to hear this particular case. But the outcome of this case is that the courts have dismissed it, describing as frivolous and abuse of the court process. Well, in the studio this afternoon here with me is the Deputy Attorney General, Godfred Yeboah. He's not here to talk about what happened in court today on a different matter. But once he's here, we'll just chip in one or two questions and get the issue addressed. So, Counsel, you're welcome.
Thank you, my brother.
And it's good to see you.
It's a pleasure also seeing you.
Right. So, this we're going to talk about judgment debt and the steps you took to get Parliament to amend the contract law which the President has sent it to you. We want to find out what really is contained in this and what public officers ought to know. But, I mean, in court today, the Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, dismiss what Roxanne Dafiamepo was seeking to have the court do and to continue to hold Parliament or to approve the President ministers. Your initial reaction to what happened in court today?
Thank you very much. The Supreme Court has spoken. As the AG said, the application has been dismissed. So, legally speaking, there's nothing holding Parliament from going ahead to do the approval or otherwise of the ministers vetted. Mm-hmm. And I think, in respect of how things unfolded, I agree with my boss. If you file an application and you fail to go to court, the court has various options. One of them is to make sure ensure that the application is heard. Mm-hmm. So today, the applicant was not in court, and the Supreme Court, in its wisdom and in accordance with law and rules of procedure, heard the application and dismissed him.
Is it strange or normal that applicant to a case will fail to show up? I mean, when it matters most.
It is not very abnormal. It's possible that you may file an application, and when the time comes for you to go to court, you may not go to court intentionally, or unintentionally, you may not go to court. But whether you go or you do not go, it depends on the explanation that you offer. So if an applicant to an application and you don't go to court, the court can deal with the matter.
Okay.
For example, if an applicant is indisposed and he served an application or hearing notice to come to court, he may, through his lawyer, inform the court, because of A, B, C, D, I'm unable to. Mm. But if you are served and there's proof of service and you decide not to attend court,
right,
the court will not wait for you. Mm. The court will proceed and hear the matter.
And that's what happened today.
That's what
happened. So if you are in the shoes of the majority leaders in Parliament or you are in the shoes of government, what would be your advice? I know that some provisions in the standing orders of Parliament makes provision for instances where the House is on recess, but there's an urgent matter. Once they get at least one third of members of Parliament to sign a petition, that will compel the Speaker to recall Parliament and then hear the urgent matter. If we're in the shoes of government, will you advise the majority to take up this cause and get Parliament back to approve the ministers?
All right, you know, Parliament, they have their own rules of procedure, and how they do their things. As you said, there's a procedure where some members may want to sign on so that the Speaker of Parliament may recall Parliament. Mm. That's another way of doing it. I think it's within the powers of the majority to explore such an option, or it can be bipartisan, where both the majority and minority may want to put their heads together and say, in view of what has happened, they're waiting for us to come again and then look at the approval processes. I think that's the way that I would advise
that it should go. Yeah. All right, so if you are watching us here on Joy News, you can leave your comments on our social media handles, on our Facebook page, on X, and of course, we are live on YouTube. What do you make of the court decision to dismiss the case brought before it by the Member of Parliament for South Dive, Roxiness Ndapiamweko? He was seeking the Supreme Court to continue to allow Parliament not to approve of the present ministers until the determination of the matter. The court says it was an abuse of the court process and frivolous. Those were the words used by the five-member panel that sat on this matter. Well, this afternoon we'll stay in the court, but out of the court into the office of the Attorney General. Now, a law to prohibit the payment of compound interest by the state in transactions entered into on her behalf by public officers has been passed by Parliament and, of course, assented to by the President of the Republic. The law, the Contract Amendment Act 2023 at 1114, sponsored by the Attorney General Minister for Justice, Godfred Eboadamem, in 2023, was passed by Parliament in July 2023, but was presented to the President for his assent only on March 5, 2024, who duly assented to it. According to the Attorney General, the law seeks to curb the inimical tendency on part of public officers to enter into contracts with high rates of interest, especially compound interest, which resulted in huge financial loss to the state. This important amendment to the Contract Act was motivated by observations he made in various actions in which he defended the state in huge judgment debt cases. Attorney General Alfred, I don't know why I keep calling you Godfred, but Alfred and Godfred always the same. Alfred Chanyeboah joins me to unpack the law. Before we begin, though, here's the situation. So we don't have the graphic. I will bring you a graphic about how much has been spent. But, counsel, again, I mean, tell me the motivation behind the decision to seek Parliament to amend the contract law and to bring in these new provisions.
All right. Now, in Ghana, there is an existing law, the Contracts Act 25, and that act actually governs everything about contract, be it private or government, private or government. Now, there have been instances where judgments have been delivered against the state, and in working the interests, in view of the contracts that were entered into, the courts have decreed that interest should be awarded on compound basis. And I think the Attorney General one time made it clear. There was one instance where that was last year, last 2 years, someone had judgment. I don't know, the person said the state was owing that entity 1.2 billion Ghana cedis. That's the NDK case. And his argument was that, having had a judgment, he had worked interest on that amount. And there was a challenge about the use of compound interest in working out that judgment debt. I don't know the day when the challenge was mounted, it came out that not more than 14,000 Ghana cedis was owed by the state.
From 1.2
billion Ghana cedis, yes.
Reduced to 14,000 Ghana
cedis. Exactly. Now, you've also heard about the trillion that the president spoke about.
Yes. Over 10 trillion,
exactly.
Your office had helped to save Ghana from paying.
Exactly. Someone had judgment in somewhere 2011, and the judgment was not, if I'm not mistaken, was not more than 200 million Ghana cedis. And according to him, he was supposed to get interest based on the arrangement that he had with the state at the time. So he worked out the interest, and it came up to 10 trillion Ghana cedis.
10 trillion
Ghana cedis. Not billion, trillion. Almost $950 billion. So there was a challenge as to how he came by that figure. And then when we went through the process, it was then reduced from, they said, fine, there was some computational errors, from 10 billion to 3 trillion. 10 trillion to 3 trillion Ghana cedis.
Even that is huge.
That's even huge. So the AG and the officers at the AG decided that, fine, let's look at a process where we can avoid such judgment debts, which arise basically because we are having to pay a lot of interest mm-hmm. on compound basis. You know, when it comes to interest, you have the simple interest and the compound interest.
Perhaps we'll spend time to explain the two and the difference.
And the difference therein. So this bill that we sent to Parliament, which is now law, is because of the antecedents. How we realized that people were getting fantastic judgment debts just because they were working the interest on compound interest basis. Mm. That's so, motivation.
So who does the computation?
Now, when judgment is delivered in court and the court says pay interest X for a period, the judgment creditor, the person who has won, mm-hmm. he may want to file the entry of judgment or certificate of judgment. He will work it and then serve it on the judgment debtor.
Right.
So it's the person who has won the case who work it out and serve it on you. If you dispute or if you doubt it, then you also challenge it. Mm-hmm. So it's always the person who has won, unless the court says the registrar or a referee should come in to work out the interest for you.
Okay.
So every judgment is a judgment creditor who goes in to work the interest.
So we're going to go into the contents of this amended contract law. But let's see a little longer on this trillions that we are talking about. The president of the State of the Nation address said that the Attorney General's office had helped to save the country from paying over 10 trillion Ghana cedis. But was there any money paid, even though you may have worked to bring the amount down? In some of the cases that are before you, that compound interest moved the amount from, sometimes from 500,000 Ghana cedis and then all the way to the trillions. Was there any money paid in these circumstances?
In terms of the trillions?
Yes.
In fact, when we were served with the entry of judgment, there was a challenge. It came to 3 trillion. And there's now a writ seeking to set aside that judgment.
This is the African automobile case?
Yes. So that matter is pending before the courts. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't want to go into detail, but right. What I can say is that from 10 trillion, there was a challenge. It came to 3 trillion, and that one is also being challenged. When the other judgment debts that you spoke about, mm-hmm. some of them have been paid. For example, there are two forms of judgment debts.
Okay.
Legitimate ones and illegitimate ones. If there is a legitimate judgment debt, the only thing you do is to what? Make payment in respect of that judgment debt. So some payments, because no government in our history can ever say there's no good to pay judgment debts. Mm-hmm. Because you deal with people. People work on your behalf. You have police officers who arrest people. Sometimes they go outside the scope of authority. The state is sued. Mm-hmm. People use government vehicles. They knock others and then state is sued. A whole lot of things. So you may have instances where people have judgment against the state. And the state, upon examining the judgment, will get to know that this judgment is something that is just and we must pay. So those that are just definitely mm-hmm. are paid.
But do you have so many on your decks as we speak?
Now, if I would say yes, because you have others like road contractors mm-hmm. who are also making demand on the government for works that they've executed.
And government hasn't paid them yet.
Definitely.
And they've gone to court.
They've gone to
court. The court has awarded judgment against
judgment debt. So in that case, so far the judgment is a justified one because the person might have gone through due process. So what do? You just negotiate with the person to see how you can pay that judgment debt. Mm-hmm. So every government in our history has faced the issue of judgment debts. Mm-hmm. But it's about whether they are justifiable judgment debts or unjustifiable judgment debts.
The Attorney General, I mean, in that interview early this month, did not also rule out sometimes the complicity of some state actors in some of these judgment debts, because eventually it may benefit them one way or the other. I don't know whether your dealings have come across the situation where you can come to the conclusion and say that this was clearly an irresponsible act on this state actor that has resulted in the state paying this huge amount of money.
All right. I have not seen it, but I know there have been instances that I've not personally seen, but there have been instances. Now, let me take you this way.
Right.
Now, if you look at the judgment debts, they arise out of contracts with sometimes contractors. Mm-hmm. When these contractors sue the state, for example, the contractors sue the Attorney General, the writ is served on us.
Right.
And if it's about the road contract, we then write to the roads ministry or the feeder road or highways for them to get us a response to that suit. Mm-hmm. At times, you send the letters and you don't get the feedback. And you know, in court, there are timelines. Mm-hmm. The person sues you, you have 8 days to enter appearance. If you do not do it, if you enter appearance, that one you can enter without even instructions. Mm-hmm. But your defense should be filed within 14 days. Sometimes you write and you don't get the response. If you don't get a response from that entity and there's judgment against the state, then you can say that officer who failed to respond mm-hmm. has occasioned that judgment debt. Mm-hmm. For you may know, you may have a valid defense to that action. But because you do not have that information
at the time you needed it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's how sometimes the AG was saying, we may have instances where state officers, they be complicit. Mm-hmm. And we have instances where people may also, we all live in this country where somewhere 2010, 2011, we spoke about create loot and share.
Right.
Where some officers may also just want to collude with others, create some scenarios, go to court, get judgments, and then share the judgment booty.
Mm. So this amendment that you've done, what is it seeking to cure?
Now, it's seeking to cure situations where state officials enter into contract on behalf of the state or the republic. And in the body or content of this contract, you have clauses relating to the payment of compound interest in default or in breach of the contract.
Is there a difference between, for example, when the court make a pronouncement and say that pay this amount of money at the prevailing interest rate and then compound interest?
Now, two scenarios, simple interest and compound interest. Mm. Simple interest is very simple, let me put it that way, straight line basis. So if it's about 10% on 10,000 every year, it means that every year is 1,000 Ghana cedis. If it's for 10 years, you multiply by that one, then you add it. Mm. But compound interest, where you have interest on interest.
Interest on interest.
Mm-hmm. So if the first year is 1,000 Ghana cedis on 10,000, it will mean that if we're working the second month, you won't work it on 100,000, but you work it on 110,000. Mm-hmm. So the interest will go, the rate will go up. So that's our compound. So at the end of the day, you may even have 1,000 Ghana cedis. Simple interest for 12 months, 10%, you may end up paying, for example, 2,200 Ghana cedis because it's 1,200 a week. But in instance where if it's compound interest, you may even pay more, sometimes 100,000, 15,000, 20,000, depending on the rate. But there is a law. Before I come, there's a law in Ghana when it comes to award of interest, CI-52. Mm-hmm. In that law, when the court decrees judgment in your favor and you pray for judgment, the rule is that the court will award simple interest. Unless there is a provision in your contract to the contrary that you have agreed that the court should award compound interest. Mm-hmm. It is to cure this that we are saying that if you are acting on behalf of the state, our position is that for every contract, it should be simple interest
and not compound.
Not compound.
Right.
So if you are dealing with us and you think that you are not interested in simple interest, then you better stop. Mm-hmm. You can go and deal with other countries. Because we know that if care is not taken and rely on compound interest and there are defaults, you get to a point where the 10 trillion, Ghana was our total GDP.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually...
That's it. But just one case claiming 10 trillion out of compound interest. Now, if you take the Act 114, there are various provisions. Mm-hmm. The first one, it seeks to amend Section 17 of the Contracts Act. And it's now including certain clauses or certain sections. Mm-hmm. One of them being who can have the authority or who has the authority to sign contracts on behalf of the Republic. It's detailed in this Act.
And who has the authority under this Act?
Now, the minister, the sector minister in charge of that sector. For example, if it's about roads, and the contracts are about roads, it should be the roads minister.
Previously, it wasn't like that.
Previously, the minister could do it.
Right.
Other officers could buy. Whether we just want to be very specific.
That the minister has the final authority.
He has to sign
such contract on behalf of the state.
Yes. Or the minister may authorize someone to do it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, my minister may want to sign, but he's not there. So, deputy AG, sign it on my behalf. Mm-hmm. Or he may say, other officer should sign on his behalf. Mm-hmm. The third one is other officers permitted by law. For example, chief directors. Mm-hmm. There are people who work within the space of the state. So they may want to sign contract on behalf of the state. But even in that one too, they cannot on their own go and then sign contracts. Mm-hmm. They need to do some various consultation before they do it. The second one is about interest. Under this act, you cannot act on behalf of the state and enter into a contract for the payment of compound interest. If you do so, and it comes out, you can be arrested and prosecuted under this law.
Under this law.
Under this law.
Which is now in effect.
It's in effect. And if you are prosecuted and you are convicted, the minimum sentence is 5,000 Naira units.
And that translates into?
12 times 5. That's almost 60,000.
And then imprisonment for
and then up to the maximum punishment is 10,000, between 5,000 and 10,000,
mm-hmm.
or imprisonment to minimum of 10 years and maximum 15 years or both.
Mm-hmm. And this is for those who may not have authority, but may endanger the country because of their own, you know, whatever.
It's not about.
But this can also apply to ministers of state who have authority under this law, but may do things that may not inure to the benefit of the state.
Yes, you have the authority to do it, and then you enter into that contract, and then allow a clause that gives the other party the right to levy compound interest on the state. Mm-hmm. That is it.
Mm-hmm.
So in every contract that you are going to sign on behalf of the state, if you're a minister, if you're a government official mandated so to do, you must make sure that you go through it when you realize and see that there is no clause burdening the state to pay compound interest in case of any default.
The question for a lot of people will be, why leave the signing of such contracts in the hands of a political appointee whose tenure in office is limited?
I think that shouldn't be a concern, that should be a problem. Because if you leave, you'll be held accountable.
Mm.
So, for example, as I sit here as a deputy minister, my minister authorized me to sign a contract on behalf of the state.
Mm.
And there is a clause in it that the state may be compelled or called upon to pay compound interest.
Mm-hmm.
If I leave office tomorrow, I can be called upon to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
So the state, in terms of the state, being represented by politicians to sign a contract, I don't think that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, aside the politicians, as I said, the chief directors may also do it, or you may be authorized others to also do it on your behalf. But what we are saying is that you must make sure that you do not sign any contract on behalf of the state that imposes compound interest on the state.
So bottom line, any business that anybody enters Ghana into, compound interest should have no expression in the contract.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's also a provision, a section in this law, that if you enter into any contract which stipulates that the state will have to pay compound interest, that contract should be declared null and void and of no effect. So if you're a businessman, Elton, and you want to, maybe you are supplying something to our ministry, and then in doing so, I decide to say, because we were the same, attend the same school, so let's make it compound interest.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be punished. But you too, you cannot enforce that contract against the state.
Mm-hmm.
Because the law is for all of us, we must all know that you must not claim compound interest against the state.
So this clearly is to guide the if you are entering the country into a contract, and it's also to guide those who have authority to do such, you know, business on behalf of the state. Now, in the event that somebody overlook the provisions in this new act and then enter into a contract with a foreign company or a local company, and then compound interest is introduced in the provisions, and this matter is put before a judge in the court, the judge cannot rely on the provisions of this act and then rule accordingly. Is that the case?
If the contract was entered into on behalf of the Republic,
mm-hmm.
and there is a provision in that contract that says that the state should pay compound interest, that bit has no effect.
Okay.
And for that matter, that portion of the contract cannot be levied or executed against the state. So the court, if it's brought to the court's attention, will never enforce such an agreement. Because our regime now is that simple interest should be the order of the day. So if you are not interested in simple interest, then
don't go there.
Don't go there.
So this has been passed. I don't know whether you've undertaken education, you've taken those who are in line of responsibility, whether you've taken them through education to understand the new order in town.
Fortunately, this law, as you said, it went to the president in March. It's not been assented. It's now a binding law. It's presumed that everybody knows the law. But this is what we are doing right now. Now that I'm on this set, people are also listening to me. And at any time there's an act or any bill or any act is passed, at our end, we distribute them to the various agencies and their ministries. So maybe the public education is what we started here, but we continue doing it. Everybody should know that this is the regime that we have now. Compound interest is no longer available when it comes to contracts with the state.
To what extent is our judgment debt causing damage to this country?
Judgment debts, I will be honest and tell you, are matters that we all need to look at critically.
Mm-hmm.
We have judgment debts to the tune of 10 trillion in just one case.
Mm-hmm. Bigger and larger than the entire GDP of this country.
Exactly.
The value of this country, if you like.
Exactly. There was another judgment that was so almost close to $1 billion. That one was also a judgment that we also set that one aside.
And this was between the state and
state,
which party?
Yes, I think state, I've forgotten the other party, but it's a case that came on in Kumasi, mm-hmm. the China jail, or something, I've forgotten the title, where there was judgment against the state. We challenged the judgment. We went on the appeal process. That over the day, the judgment was set aside.
Of $1 billion United States
almost dollars. $1 billion. You also know there was also another judgment debt in Kumasi, $50 million. There's illegal mining and all those things.
Right.
That one, you had to go to court to set it aside. So if...
You went to court to set it aside, meaning the case is not... There's no finality on these matters.
Fine. If there's judgment against us and we go to court to set the judgment aside and you think that the judge has erred, we also have the right to take the next step. Mm-hmm. But so first, we are concerned. That's what we have done. Mm-hmm. I know some of them have filed appeals. Nobody can fault them. That's right. Their right so to do. But we will not sit down for anybody to get judgments. And if we think that judgment is not deserving, definitely we will challenge that judgment with all the laws that we know to make sure that our little resource that we have is protected. Ghana is a state that I can say, just like all other states, we don't have limitless resources. Mm-hmm. We have limited resources. So in the utilization of these limited resources, we are enjoined to ensure that we use it for the benefit of the people of the state. And so if you have any judgment against us, which may be a valid judgment, ensure that in the calculation of the interest, you do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Some people have the impression that, oh, for the government, if you even work it out, nobody will look at it.
Yeah.
I'm assuring my brother, if you file any certificate of judgment, have in mind that we will scrutinize certificate of judgment. If there's nothing undeserving of that certificate of judgment, we'll definitely go after you. We'll go after that certificate and set it aside.
But again, the concern here is the responsibility of the state and its actors to respect contents of contract it enter into with other people. Because the judgment that wouldn't just arise from the clouds. Obviously, because the state did not respect its part of the deal. That's how come the aggrieved party went to court and got a call to, you know, award him or her judgment.
You are right. But to cure that mischief, now, if you look at the Public Financial Management Act, there is a section provision in that act that says that you cannot award contracts if you do not have dedicated funding for it. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a public officer, a minister of state, or any government official, before you award any contract to anyone, you have to make sure that at the time that you were going through that process, mm-hmm. there was a dedicated funding for it. It's one of those things that we are using to just cure mm-hmm. that kind of, because as you said, if you do not go by the terms of the contract that you entered into, that party also not sit down.
Right.
The person will go after you. So that law is something that we must all respect. Mm-hmm. And most of the judgment debts that we have, I think some of them, 1999, 2000 and something, old judgment debts.
But an interest on it has built on and it's coming to where we are now.
Yes. Interest has built on. And if the interest was even simple interest, that would be something different. Because you see, if you have a judgment against you, as a private practitioner, if I represent you and the judgment against you, I can tell you, Ayrton, the judgment is 1 million Ghana cedis. Interest is 500,000 Ghana cedis. We are going on appeal. But because I don't want to be paying interest, if I don't really, there's a state of execution, and then we even go to the Supreme Court and we come back mm-hmm. and we lose, we have to pay all the interest up right. to that time. If you have the money, you pay into the court registry so that at least we are able to hold on with the interest payment. Mm-hmm. I think these are some of the things that we should be looking at. If there's judgment against the state and we have that kind of fight, we even want to challenge it as from forum, maybe in a court of appeal or the Supreme Court, and we want to avoid paying future interest.
Judgment debt.
We may want we'll to do it. That.
But has there been an occasion where the state negotiated behind the scenes with a party that are taking the state to court to come to some kind of an acceptable figure?
There have been many instances. You see, you can have post-judgment settlement mm-hmm. where there's a judgment against the state, but realize that the person is entitled to X, Y, Z, but you may want to negotiate with him that you're entitled to X, Y, Z. The state cannot pay. Please, can you agree to pay X, Y, minus one? Mm-hmm. just reduce it. Even sometimes, even negotiate for people to even waive part of the deal, of the interest.
Because I understand that in the matter between the state and the African Automobile, when we spoke to one of their lawyers, Lawyer Abochi, and they said that the AG had filed some processes in court, so there's a hold on the execution of the judgment debt. And even for him, I mean, it was becoming increasingly difficult for them to even consider the calculation because of the huge amount of money involved. So in such circumstances, how do you weave your way around it?
We have to go through a legal process, unless, of course, there is that kind of understanding that we need to settle our differences. Because if you have instance where one party is saying that I'm entitled 10% per month, compounded. Look at the implications.
Right.
10% per month, so some of them 6.5% per month compounded. There will definitely be a challenge. But the other party will be saying, no, that's not a position so far as we are concerned. But as you said, if parties are ready to settle, why not?
We'll do that.
But there are instances where you have to sit down with the other party, look at it, and come to an amicable resolution of a matter, and then we end all this kind of litigation in court.
Is this a major challenge at the ministry? The issue of judgment debt.
Judgment debt, as I already told you, is a border to us. And it's not really about contracts. Sometimes it arises out of actions of state actors. And I made a suggestion somewhere that it should be possible. I think it's legally also possible that if you're a state actor and you go outside the scope of your authority, if you're a police officer, you decide to molest people outside the training that you've been given, and the person sues and there's judgment against you, the state must also make sure that that money we're going to pay, we pursue you so that we pay the money back to the state.
But let me just find out, do you get such cases, police brutalities and people seeking redress?
We have them. We have them. Where the police service is sued, the agency is sued, and we have to go to court sometime. We try to even settle.
And most is about what, abuse on the citizen by a police officer?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's about purely, you look at a situation where someone might be, not a police officer, I don't want to just bring them to the picture. A state officer may be driving a vehicle, then he knocks down someone on the road. Then the person sues. We have to pay. So there are this kind of judgment that we have small and bigger, small. But at the end of the day, what we are saying is that if you are officer of the state, in whatever that you do, you should have in mind that if you intentionally or out of the scope of your authority, do something that will occasion a form of judgment to the state, the state will pursue you to get that money that is
from you.
From you.
Right. So somebody is asking whether, for example, is there a schedule like this is how much we pay as judgment debt every month?
No, we don't have it. But I think if you take the budget every year, the budget that is presented to Parliament, you may have a session of the budget talking about the payment of judgment debts. But at one ministry, we do not have it.
And then somebody is also asking whether you want to know whether the state has been successful in retrieving every money it considered illegal payment to Afedabwesi Woyomi.
I will answer no. Efforts have been made. Some recoveries have been made. But you've not recovered everything from him.
Do you know how much money is outstanding?
I cannot be specific, very sure. But what I can say is that some monies have been recovered from him. We also made an attempt to also do some execution when it comes to
of some of his properties.
Property, yes. So we are still in the process, but he has not paid everything.
So those properties are in the hands of the state or they've been disposed of?
I don't know the update on it now. I need to check.
Okay. And then another person also says that, is our properties in the United States, United Kingdom, safe because of this Trafigura matter?
Yes, that case too, we wrote to the finance ministry to enter into negotiations again with the judgment debtors. And my understanding
meaning
is that
we accept that we owe and we have to pay.
Yes. My understanding is that they are talking. But where they are now, I don't know the state of it. That's my understanding.
But our properties are safe.
Yes. But if you do not pay, at the end of the day, the judgment debtor, creditor may want to find me. But I can give the assurance that the finance ministry is taking every step possible to ensure that negotiations are made. We agree on how much we have to pay and when and where, so that all those things will be taken care of.
So, Honorable, as we begin to wrap up, apart from the provision on compound interest and the conduct of officers assigned under this law with the responsibility to enter the state into contract with other parties, what are the other provisions that we should look out for?
Basically, these are the main, provisions in this act.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, if there are other things that we need to do, let me commend Parliament. This bill went to them last year. It was passed last year. Mm-hmm. Then we have it signed this year. So, mm-hmm. and when we went to Parliament, we didn't have any opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite, it was bipartisan. We are a developing nation. New ideas may come up. Mm-hmm. When new ideas come up, maybe this act may be amended along the line. But this is a starting point.
And then the other matter is the criminal offenses bill, which is also in Parliament.
Yes.
Is there any relationship between the two?
This one is about the civil
side. This one is about the civil side.
But the criminal side too, yes. We've also identified certain loopholes in the in the criminal side.
Like what example?
For example, it comes to the trial by jury.
Mm-hmm.
You have instances where you have seven gentlemen and ladies sitting to try first degree, like murder.
Mm-hmm.
In the event that one of them
is unavailable.
That unavailable, the case does not go on.
And for example, last year, you had a lot of strike by these people. And that affected the trial of cases, especially in the north.
Yes. We also have instances where the jury will sit in the case. They will finish maybe the day before judgment or summing up. One of them passes on. It means they have to start the case.
Does managing your healthcare feel like a full-time job? Bounced from one doctor to the next? All the forms, the bills, the nada bills, the...
Press 4 to repeat these options.
Does healthcare have to be this way? At Kaiser Permanente, all of us work together to make healthcare easier. And with integrated care and coverage, all you have to do is focus on your health. Learn more at kp.org, Kaiser Permanente, for all that is you.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Afresh, de novo. We want to cure that mystery by having alternate jurors.
Okay.
So you have seven, and then we have other alternate jurors who also be sitting to observe the process. So the moment one of them is absent or is not able to participate, mm-hmm. due to ill health or death, then the alternate judge, alternate juror will step in, mm-hmm. sit in, and then the case will proceed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the areas that we'll be looking at. Then you also look at instances where people go to court and delays trials.
Mm-hmm.
How do we handle it? Because we've also made that suggestion in the bill that the day-to-day hearing of cases must rather be encouraged. There might be timelines when it comes to the trial of criminal matters. Then there are also provisions on interlocutory appeals.
Mm-hmm.
The proposal in this bill is that you can file interlocutory appeal only when you have closed, or sorry, only when the state has closed its case.
Okay.
If, for example, a document is being tendered in the course of the trial and the accused person's counsel objects to it and is overruled, he has the right to go on appeal, but this bill is saying that, hold on, let's finish with the prosecution side
before that.
You do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So there are other things,
mm-hmm. that you are looking, yes, into. Yes. Okay. All right. Honorable, thank you very much for coming. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for the education on the amended contract law. And folks, so that's the Deputy Attorney General, Alfred Chiayabua, and taking us through the amendment to the contract law, and the responsibility is on state actors, and you are not clear as to what you can do if you are to enter the state into any contract. The rationale behind this bill is to avoid the payment of judgment debt and its compound interest. Now, still to come, locked up investment holders hit the streets today as they begin an 8-month-long protest to demand their matured investments.
Either you give them money, these institutions that are not able to operate, NDK Financial Services, SDC Financial Services, SIC Life Savings and Loans, and Bond Savings and Loans, give them support.
To every resident in our vibrant regions, brace yourself for an unforgettable and transformative journey with Nana Kwame Bediako as he embarks on the groundbreaking regional listening tour. From bustling cities to the serene landscapes of Ghana, say hello to a leader who genuinely listens to your concerns, dreams, and hopes for a better community and country. A leader who is ready to get things moving again with you and by you.
Nana Kwame Bediako, Eban Kasankasa, Ebae, Ebona, Yenazoa, Nwanan Oliba, is coming live
and color to your communities. Get ready. It's your time to be heard.
Daddy, this tank is big!
Yes, that's true.
It can store a lot of water.
That's so true.
Wow, it has a walking tortoise on it.
Mm-hmm, that's so true.
I can see S-I-N-T-E-S, Syntex.
That is so true, my daughter.
When it falls down, it will spoil.
That's not true.
But why?
Whoa! Hey! Syntex was the first to introduce double layer tanks in Ghana. Syntex again was the first to introduce white inner layers in Ghana. Syntex gives you the biggest warranty, 7 years. No matter your water needs, Syntex is the answer. Syntex tank. Are you strong? Are you tough?
Across Africa, a new era has begun. Shifting our focus to a new horizon, connecting us with one purpose: to create and share opportunities to grow. Today, we are making a brighter tomorrow, built by our dreams and our energy. Across our continent, across the world, we are creating a better way to a better future. A Pan-African future, together. Ecobank, a better way, a better Africa.
We know the dream is big. We know the passion gets you going, and you have the potential to make great strides. The Chartered Institute of Marketing, Ghana, has always been an avid supporter of industry excellence and innovation. This is why we are excited to announce the CIMG Professional Marketing Qualifications. CIMG has designed practical courses to help you make that dream a reality right here in Ghana. We are geared up and ready to support you on this journey to becoming a world-class professional marketer. Register today and be on your way to greatness. For more information, call us on 055-274-6592. Visit our website www.cimghana.org or email us on info@cimghana.org. Chartered Institute of Marketing Ghana, working for Ghana.
Welcome back to The Pulse here on Joy News with me, Elton Brobe. Now, let's talk about bondholders and the frustration they are going through on a daily basis. Now, the Bank of Ghana promises to revoke licenses of financial institutions owing us. Now, that's according to the leadership of the Locked Up Investment Holders Forum. The group today went on the street to protest against the Bank of Ghana for failing to secure their investment with some financial houses and savings and loans companies. My colleague James Abeji was at the protest and has more in the following report.
this morning, members of the Locked Up Investment Forum have actually hit the street to protest, to put pressure on the Bank of Ghana to help retrieve their locked up funds with some financial houses and savings and loan companies across the country. These are persons who have invested with corporate finance entities. Some even invested with church corporate entities. All of them are saying that their monies over the period have been locked up with those entities without being able to retrieve them. Despite the back and forth with the Bank of Ghana, they have mentioned that they've not been able to get their monies, and so they are hitting the
Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to my Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Street. They started a walk actually from the premises of the NDK Financial Company around the Accra Sports Stadium and heading towards Bank of Ghana to present their petition to Governor of the BOG. And so that's what is happening. If you look on some of the placards, they have the Bank of Ghana. Don't kill investors with your poor supervision. Others are saying that the Bank of Ghana should wake up and do its job. Others say we want our money back. We worked for it. Bank of Ghana, you are the watchman of SDIs. Wake up. That is the information on some of the placards. We can try and have a conversation with some of them to know what exactly what their plight are. I mean, we'd want to have a conversation with you. Tell us about your own situation with this whole savings and loan companies and your lockup funds.
To be honest with you, right now I have to take my medication every other day. I can't afford to take it every day. I have to space it out. You can't live comfortably like you have planned to do. And it is not right at all. It is so unfair. This is money that we worked to save. And we are punishing us for saving. Because without saving, without investments, business cannot go on in any country. So if we have saved, if we have sacrificed our little money to save, why should we be punished for it?
We thought that we were going to the BOG to terminate the protest. Why are we here at the Kwame Nkrumah Memorial
Park? According to the police, they have declared those areas as security zone. You recall that when the minority in parliament held their protest, they stopped them at some point. And I'm told, the police told me it was at this point that they stopped them. So we don't want to force the police to go against their own rule. So we're even going to be at the roadside there, but they realized that the sand is too much. So they pleaded with these people to allow us here so that we can rest under this shade. So,
but was that the original plan?
Yes.
The original plan was for you to come here?
To be at the roadside there, could converge there, and then wait for our leaders to go and come. But now they have allowed us to come inside here so that the sand, we are protected by the sand.
What's the next plan?
The next plan is from the Bank of Ghana. We are going to the Minister of Finance.
So not all of you are going to meet there?
No, no. 10 people are going to meet.
Who are you going to meet at the BOG?
The governor. We wrote that we want to meet the governor.
If you don't meet he himself, what would you do?
Well, as an organization, I know I've heard an institution before. So let them decide who is going to do that.
You have a petition you are going to present to
them. The petition is already with them since November. And we are just going to find out what is the governor doing about the petition and the proposal we have submitted for the resolution of this matter.
There are some key highlights in that petition and
the proposal. As we have proposed two methods or approaches. Either you give them money, these institutions that are not able to operate, NDK Financial Services, SDC Financial Services, SIC Life Savings and Loans, and Bond Savings and Loans, give them support. Find some money. We have said that they should be talking to the development partners to allow them to even use part of the stability fund to do this kind of exercise. Give them some money, which can cover about 20% of investors' funds there, so the investors get about 20% of their funds. The rest, we are prepared to convert it into, let's say, a 4 or 3 year bond. And we are also prepared to even convert the balance into equity in those organizations. Restructure the organizations and let them work so that they can also continue to employ people. If you think that their services are no longer needed in this economy, then your law says even if their services are no longer needed in this economy, then your law says even if, so if you see that for 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, these people cannot work and they are insolvent, then revoke their licenses and take over the policy's funds and pay us the second leg.
Finally, do we know the total number of the members of the group and how much has been locked
up? We know, but what is locked up, we don't know, because all the financial institutions have their reports to Bank of Ghana. Bank of Ghana can determine that so far, this is a quantum of amount that are locked up that I should find money to pay.
So how many are you?
We are, NDK alone has more than 6,000 clients. The rest, I can't put a figure on it. So if one organization alone has more than 6,000, then this four you can imagine.
Who joins me via Zoom, as we try to understand this. James, you wanted to the poll. So have they been able to, in the morning, you indicated that they were hoping to hold a meeting with the Bank of Ghana. And from your interaction with Dr. Anani, that meeting came off. Is that the case?
So finally, that meeting came off. Some members of the group were selected to go to the Bank of Ghana to go meet the governor. And after some hours, about 2 hours, they came back to tell us that indeed they have met the governor himself, his deputies, as well as some senior staff of the BOG, and have had some conversations with them on how to go about this whole issue. Mm-hmm. Dr. Edward Anienchi shares with us the outcome of that meeting as well. He described as positive because one key thing they were looking for is to meet the governor himself to ask him questions on what they are up to. And so that has been achieved. And he shares the outcome of the rest of the activities they have been talking about with us as well.
Of the Bank of Ghana, we had a fruitful discussion with them. The governor was there, the two deputies were there, all the department, various departmental heads that are relevant for this matter were there. The conclusion that we had from that meeting is that the Bank of Ghana was prepared to revoke the licenses of these institutions. But they must first be assured by government that government has made provision for the payment of these investors' funds before they revoke, in short. So they are dealing with government for government to provide those monies for that. The government has not been able to do that as of now. So we too, when we go to the minister, that's the message we are going to send to the minister, that the government, the Bank of Ghana, can revoke them the licenses today, provided government has made resources available to pay these investors, because we don't want the license to be revoked and tell investors that we should go and sit somewhere without getting our money. We want to make sure that once you revoke the license, you pay us as you pay the other people in 2017 and 2018. So we are now going to the minister and convey this that we have heard from Bank of Ghana to the minister. And require and demand that the government do whatever it can to ensure that it can provide some money down for these institutions to be closed down and for investors to get their money back.
So just finally, they proceeded to the finance ministry, but some clash happened there. What brought about the skirmishes?
Yes, Elton. So even before we went to the finance ministry, Dr. Anani made us understand that he himself had been to the ministry earlier to present to them a letter informing the minister that they will be coming to see him today over the issue. And so when the BOG says that they are ready to implement the suggestions they've given them by revoking the licenses, and so they will need some level of assurance from the finance ministry. We then proceeded from the Kwame Nkrumah Memorial Park under the Scottish Sandworth members through the Atamels High Street to the ministry to meet the minister. When we got there, there were already some both internal security persons as well as some police officers in uniform who were manning the gates of the finance ministry. And so we got there, and then they lined up on the street of the finance ministry, the street just in front of the ministry's gate, with their banners spread and the brass band singing to them. They played the national anthem, and then they attempted to enter through the gate. Then we had some exchange between Dr. Anani Entry and one person behind the gate in the premises of the ministry. And then we got there and realized that the security in the ministry have been preventing them from entering. And so there's been some level of exchange between he himself and the security personnel as to why they are preventing them from entry. The person inside was shouting that the minister is not there, there's nobody there who will see to them. And they also try to inquire whether it is the minister who says that he should tell them the information and why that is wrong for them to receive them the way they receive them. We can have a look at what really transpired between the two parties.
We want your name! We want your name!
What's the issue?
Otherwise, we'll be coming here every day. Is it your minister who said we shouldn't come, or you are saying what's the authority for you to lock the place? That some people, we are not saying all of us are coming. 10 people are coming to meet the minister because we have written to the minister. And you are saying what? The minister is not, master, you don't need to be working here. It means you don't even understand organization. Hello. You don't understand organization. You shouldn't be here. You should be fired. If I want to meet the minister and he's not there, there should be a human being who will represent the minister. I'm sorry you are employed here. You shouldn't be here because you don't understand. You don't understand organization. To say minister is not there, and so what? The minister is not there. There's nobody in this. I'm announcing this to the whole world.
Doc, what's the issue? What's the
problem, sir? Yes, sir. I can't understand.
The information he's giving.
If you don't know work, don't come here and be so. You think I'm a small boy?
He said we don't have any appointment.
I myself brought elected here. No, not much, you say. This is a public office, so you should know. I was also a public officer. But now I retire. I don't want to use some words on you. You deserve some words, but I won't use it on you. When you go home, tell your wife that she will advise you.
Of course.
The issue is that we want to meet the minister and someone who I don't know the capacity in which he is talking. Say, I don't have a meeting with the minister because I haven't even informed the minister. And I brought a letter to the minister's office last Friday, announcing that these people will come. The governor knows that the minister has received the letter, and the minister knows we are coming here. There's somebody sitting here say, no, we don't have any appointment. We are waiting. I'm forgiving them. Somebody say they are bringing some people to come and meet us. I'm waiting for some few minutes and see what happened.
So just briefly, were they able to meet the finance minister?
Yeah, so they've finally been allowed in, but about 5 minutes, they came back and told us that they've not been able to meet the finance minister. They were told that both the minister himself, his two deputies, some of them who have been vetted, not yet approved, as well as the chief director of the ministry and any other senior member or officer at the ministry, is not around at the time. And so they haven't been able to meet any official of the ministry before we finally disperse. But this happens again in 2 weeks' time. And so they are hopeful that when they come back in 2 weeks' time, they'll be able to meet the minister to have a judge with him or on the way forward.
Thank you very much, James Avechi. He was with them when they walked, when they protested against the non-payment of their investment funds, and he brought in that report. But right here in the studio is Rodney Odoi, NDK customer. Mr. Odoi, welcome to the Pulse here on Joy News. So usually you should be home, maybe playing with your grandchildren, and here you are fighting to get what really is yours. Tell me your story.
Playing golf. Unfortunately, I was with the doctor at the first at the Bank of Ghana offices, mm-hmm. and then at the ministry as well.
Mm. And disappointed that you were unable to meet the minister, even though you had informed them that you were coming there
completely
today.
Completely disappointed, mm-hmm. because like the doctor indicated, there had been a conversation mm-hmm. between the BOG and the ministry, mm-hmm. so they knew that we were going to be there. Mm-hmm. And we have dealt with him before. I remember when we were dealing with the issue of bonds.
Right.
And he was very nice when he was the Minister of State. So I'm surprised he chose not to see us this time. Mm.
But, I mean, this struggle to get what is yours.
Yes.
I mean, how do you describe it? That you have to endure the impact of the sun on you this early morning whilst you should be resting at home.
Is such a huge shame. I mean, I decided to invest. I think I decided to diversify. Mm-hmm. I had some monies in bonds, and then I put some money here as well many years ago. And the whole idea is that after I'd come on pension, I'm on pension now, mm-hmm. you know, I would be able to have some extra funds to supplement my pension. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, you find yourself in this situation. Your kids are still at home.
Right.
They should be out. But, you know, they earn jobs, and if they can't find jobs, they better go to school mm-hmm. and get some more qualifications. So you are still paying fees. You're still feeding people. And you don't have enough money. Mm-hmm. All the money you plan to use, you can't get access to. Mm-hmm. It's a shame. And maybe I'm one of the lucky ones mm-hmm. because I was with someone on dialysis, and you know, others like that. Some have gone because
they couldn't raise the money to take care of their health.
No, they couldn't raise the money to take care of their health situation, and so they succumb to their illnesses. So once I have the strength to do so, I suppose we'll keep on fighting.
But is there any assurance coming from anywhere that eventually you will have your money?
I won't say there is any assurance, because it appears that the government doesn't have the money. And if they are going to have it, it will probably have to come from our development partners. Mm-hmm. And that is still open. And one doesn't know if we would secure those funds or not. But we have no choice. We right. just have to keep on fighting.
Were you part of those that met the BOG?
Yes, I was.
And what went on? What discussion went on in terms of your concerns and the readiness of the BOG to help resolve this matter? Because revoking the license of these companies does not resolve your matter.
Indeed. He indicated that he was concerned. I mean, he and his deputies expressed a concern. And they did point out this same thing. And then they also pointed out the fact that there is this, I think, investment protection insurance scheme.
Financial Stability Fund.
There's an insurance scheme as well that is supposed to protect investors. But the most you can get, he said, was like 1,000 cedis or something like that.
For every one of you?
Yes. So
1,000 Ghana cedis every month?
I don't know. Once and that's it. I mean, so
one-off payment.
Yes.
1,000 Ghana cedis.
Yes. Something like that or even less. So I don't know why we should have such a provision in place since it's so inadequate. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is that. And then there's the fact that if they revoked the license of these entities, mm-hmm. You go through the court processes, you use the person the government has appointed to look after the assets, and it takes a long time.
Right.
And we may not even be able to find enough to pay all of us. And so he thought that appealing to government to find some money to deal with this situation, like it was done in 2016,
right,
is a good thing. And he indicated that they have been talking, the Bank of Ghana and the Finance Ministry, mm-hmm. about this. But no resolution has come up yet, mm-hmm. to this. So basically, we understood that the resolution would have to come from the Ministry.
The Ministry of Finance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, in fact, going forward, we probably will not be going to the Bank of Ghana anymore.
But I go to the Ministry of Finance.
We'll go to the Ministry.
But it wouldn't be the first time.
No, it won't be the first time.
Because last year, last 2 years, you virtually made it your home.
Yes, we did. The bondholders.
And then some payment came.
Some good news came. And luckily, not just for us, but for all others that had invested in bonds as well. Mm. We're hoping that this will be done. Because if it's not done, I don't know what example it sets for our kids, mm-hmm. and those in employment still. Where are you going to put your money? Mm-hmm. Would you put under your pillow, or would everybody buy land or houses in his
name? The thing is also that, I mean, when the money is deducted as source and then credited, yes. to the fund, I mean, yes. you have no hand in how it's utilized. And so when there's difficulty tomorrow, you are eventually caught up.
Indeed.
In whatever you didn't plan.
Indeed.
For.
And that's what I was with before from TOR, mm-hmm. and other organizations like that that had, you know, put money in there for the employees, lots of employees, and unfortunately they find themselves in this situation.
I mean, the difficulty I'm trying to appreciate is that, I mean, for persons like you, mm. you work with the Tema Oil Refinery for several years.
No, I didn't work for...
Okay.
I worked for a mining company.
Okay, a mining company, yes. Right. So... Obviously, mm-hmm. you were in a very gainful employment.
Yes.
And then you are out. You are out on retirement.
Yes.
Which will affect everybody. It will affect me at some point in my life. Now, you have some former chief executives, former managing directors.
Yes.
In fact, Mr. Edwin Anem was a former head of the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Yes.
And these are people who actually devoted their entire life to the service of this nation. And
exactly.
this is the treatment you get in retirement.
Exactly, it's such a shame. And he is best pleased, actually, because they actually fought hard to deepen the financial space, mm-hmm. to ensure that lots of people invested. Because I know that compared to our neighbors, mm-hmm. we don't invest as much as they do.
Yes.
Both in insurance and savings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, savings, mobilization of funds from that end is the key thing for development. And so, in a sense, we are behind, and now we are going to fall even further behind.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's trouble in all our sub-region, but we seem to be facing the battle of it somehow.
Because if people in your category are facing this difficulty, then I'm wondering the thousands that are, what I want to describe, are maybe down for them.
Yes, mm-hmm. I mean, so it's even much worse.
Yes.
And so I remember when we started this process, when it was a little money, we were all agreeable that mm-hmm. those who had, I think there was some 10 million Cedis or something that was available, 20K, we said those who had funds up to a certain amount.
You should pay them off.
Be paid off so that at least, you know, they would go off. So now you've taken care of some of them, mm-hmm. and now you have people who have more, and they didn't steal these sums. They mm-hmm. are not kickbacks. They are from the sweat and blood, and unfortunately, they can't get access to these funds.
So, from your own perspective, what is the recommendation to have this resolved, if not permanently, but comfortable such that you'll be able to live your life the way you want whilst you fight the other cause?
In fact, one of the proposals that the doctor came up with, and I'm full support of that, is that they could secure some funds to pay a portion, say 20% cash up front. That would take care of a lot of people and a lot of the issues that they have. And then a portion of it, 50-60% could be in bonds. Mm-hmm. Bonds don't have a very good name now,
right?
We'll be happy to take some money in bonds payable over, say, the next 4 years or something. And even a balance of it probably in equities, so that we would be equity partners in some of these companies to ensure that they are properly run to the benefit of not just ourselves, but the whole country. So we think that if this minimum is, mm-hmm. is done, it would be helpful to all of us.
So before I let you go, so you are back on the streets in 2 weeks?
Yes. We have no choice. We have to keep on doing this until something gives.
And the plan is, and the plan now is to go to the finance ministry to and get them to commit to something.
Yes, yes, that's the plan. To go to the finance ministry and get them to commit to look at these proposals mm-hmm. we've given them, which we believe is a good way of getting mm-hmm. out of the situation in which we are, and agree to it.
All right. Thank you very much, sir, for coming and sharing your story with us this afternoon.
Thank you
is a pause here on joining. So we have been looking at the demonstration that took place today by some bondholders, pensioners, bondholders, and they are demanding, their investments, I mean, basically. And so we'll follow up with this, with this matter, to bring you a response if we get one from the Ministry of Finance. But the Kwalikwoti Municipal Assembly is set to prosecute individuals engaged in open defecation and garbage dumping on a piece of land between the Independence Square or the Blaster Square and Asunjue Park, which is the burial site of former President John Evans Atta Mills. In an interview with Marcel Agbaba, the Municipal Chief Executive Samuel James Ni Ajeteria announced that the Assembly is collaborating with the Ghana Tourism Authority to revamp the area and put an end to this troubling practice. We'll hear from the MC shortly, but first, Marcel Agbaba's report for our film exhibition series, which highlighted the alarming situation.
The Independence Square and the Independence Arch, a reminder of Ghana's freedom from her colonial masters. Right beside it is the piece of land which also serves as a reminder to some unpatriotic citizens of their freedom. Freedom to openly defecate and dump their garbage.
Ghana, we now have freedom. Ghana, land of freedom. Toils of the brave.
It seems the authorities have found the perfect spot for a sit-down protest against waste management. Or perhaps it is the city authorities' way of saying, Happy Independence Day, enjoy the sights and smell. Right here, we confronted a man who had just finished defecating on this hallowed ground.
So why were you defecating here?
Through the defecating is that low land, they've been shitting there for a long time. And it was like baller, the rubbish dump. Some people are shitting in this water. But me, I know that some are using it to wash. I will not do that.
Why were you defecating?
Defecating here, if you are defecating here, those who are living around here, they will not call it to be a crime because it's a lowland. And very soon, you will see people who bring this in. It was even deep down. Because of the rubbish dam, you see that it is filling.
Do you think it's bad, especially because this place is very close to the Independence Square, and just right behind the walls of the Independence Square, you are defecating? You don't think it's wrong?
I know that it's wrong, but here like this, it's very, very wrong. I know that here too is not right. In case they are to do here, clear here, no, it's not right. Yeah. But the way it was bush, if you are here, no one will call it to be a crime. Okay. That's why we are shitting there. Yeah, so that's why we are defecating there. But here, if you see a person shitting here, you know that that person is not normal.
For citizens who come here, it is to celebrate our nation's freedom. But what about our freedom from this mess? Perhaps city authorities want to give tourists and patrons a 360 independence celebration. After watching the display and exhibition of our culture and all that we stand for at the Black Star Square, you can come here for a part two, this time a filth exhibition. Chata Winfred Annan is a resident.
Immediately when they
they remove the presidency from the Usu Castle to the Jubilee House. That is fine. Immediately, they could have brought the national security people to the Usu Castle so that they can keep this place clean. But now, see, if you see the rubbish and where the people go to toilet here, it's very bad. There's nothing going on here. They said nobody should come to the beach. And people are going to private all over. If you turn and look at the where the rubbish are, you see everything. So for me, it's terrible. Where the cast Independence Square is and where they go to private, it's not good. And so they're supposed to do something about it. And so if you look at the Asomje Park and where the people are going to the private, my man, the big NSS should do something about it.
Let's celebrate independence in every sense of the word, from freedom to cleanliness. Join us in our mission to turn this field exhibition into a showcase of cleanliness and pride. Max Olagbagba for Joy News.
Well, there is a response, and the Kwalikloti Municipal Assembly has expressed concern about the ongoing situation. The Municipal Chief Executive Samuel James Niaje Tewia says the Assembly has partnered with the Ghana Tourism Authority to enhance the development of the area. He also mentioned that the Assembly will take legal action against individuals caught engaging in open defecation and garbage dumping on the land.
His karate lessons might not turn him into a black belt.
Hi-ya!
And even after band camp, he might not be the greatest musician. But with the 3% annual percentage yield you can earn on a PenFed Premium Online Savings Account, your goal of supporting his dreams...
Thanks for everything, Mom and Dad.
...will always be worth it. Apply today at PenFed.org/savings. Federally insured by NCUA. $5 minimum to open account. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed.
PenFed's got great rates for everyone.
His karate lessons might not turn him into a black belt.
Hi-ya!
And even after band camp, he might not be the greatest musician. But with the 3% annual percentage yield you can earn on a PenFed Premium Online Savings Account, your goal of supporting his dreams...
Thanks for everything, Mom and Dad.
...will always be worth it. Apply today at PenFed.org/savings. Federally insured by NCUA. $5 minimum to open account. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed.
PenFed's got great rates for everyone.
We all have that friend who wakes up early to go get everyone McDonald's breakfast while the rest of us sleep in. This is your sign to thank them. And if you're that friend, this is us saying thank you.
Just a friendly reminder that right now, get any size iced coffee before 11 a.m. for just 99 cents. And a satisfying sausage McMuffin with egg is just $2.79. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIP.
This has probably been going on over the years, but we are taking steps to make sure we bring that place to a level that the tourists that come there will appreciate even more. So there are a few initiatives that are in the pipeline. I'm sure when you got there, you saw that, for example, that's in Dream Park, there's some construction work going on. If you entered, yeah. That is Ghana Tourism Authority and ourselves collaborating to bring the place up to a level, and there will be places of convenience for people to use if they happen to go there. And then Nationalism Park, I'm sure you see the place ordered off. Yeah. So we are gradually bringing those places up to international standards that tourists that come to this country can go to these places. But this open defecation thing has been there for some time. But it's not something that you people do it openly for you to see that something like this is going on. We often, it's after the, it has happened, before we do come across, and then we have to take steps to claim the place. But with these new interventions, it will be difficult. The space will not be there. The place will be properly staffed, etc., to make sure the amenities and things we put at the place can be used. To promote this country. So I think the work there will be even much better. But like I said, with open defecation, oftentimes people hide and do their business, and then we find out later, and then we have to clean it up. So one, through the Gamma project, a lot of the houses in that community were supposed to take advantage of the scheme to build their own toilet facilities in their homes, right? A lot of them did, but not every household. So we are on the lookout. If people are found to have to be engaged themselves in those things, they will be dealt with. And we are one of the assemblies that have taken a lot of people to court on sanitation matters and things of the sort. And there are records there from the Mayor's department to point to this fact. So we are on the job, we are working on it, but it is a very big problem. And we believe educating, creating awareness for the community to help us deal with such issues is a step in the right direction.
Well, the head of waste management at Accra Metropolitan Assembly, Solomon Noy, says the AMA is also under resource pledges. It is working around the clock to deal with the sanitation situation, especially here in the capital, Accra.
Very soon, we will be having a sanitation court that will be commissioned in our jurisdiction. We used to have them, but with the split of AMA into other submetries that became autonomous and municipals on their own, we found out that the traveling distance from Accra to the court at La and other areas was a bit of a disadvantage. And some of these operations, we need to have the court right within our vicinity. So very soon, plans are far advanced so that I'm sure by next month or so, we should have our sanitation court, which will be situated at the old AMA head office behind or adjacent to the Bank of Ghana. Definitely, all the cases will be rapidly prosecuted. But the current program is still ongoing to make sure that we inspect homes and houses to ensure that they have toilet facilities.
So let's look at generally dealing with filth in Accra. What's the plan?
Yes, so it's good that you situate the discussion in the right perspective. So if you wouldn't mind, I want to take you through some analysis. By the nature of Accra, Accra's topography, Accra is low-lying. If I say Accra, I'm talking about the AMA, Kolikoti, Ablekuma, all those along the beaches. And by default, all the secondary and tertiary drains upstream, if I say secondary and tertiary, they are the drains that are connecting houses and other roofs, and they all empty into storm drains. And most of the storm drains use the Odor River and some other river bodies as their final outfall. And because they are low-lying, we are low-lying and somewhere below sea level, currently, in terms of our waste management practices, despite the combination of public-private partnerships we have and the logistics that has been put in place, it is currently inadequate to the extent that we are doing an average of about 70% waste collection every day within the entire city of Accra, spanning from Amasaman all the way down to AMA itself.
Nation program. Remember, you can also be your own journalist. You can also be your own reporter. If you come across any dumping sites, anything that is unpleasant to you, just take your phone, record it, video, pictures, and send to us, and we will give you the necessary credit. For more stories, log on to our website, myjoyonline.com. Stories making rounds. Supreme Court throws out injunction application against approving Akufo-Addo's new ministers. We also have PULC updates Ghanaians on its orders to ECG. Well, my name is Elton Brobe. We shall be back tomorrow, same time at 3 p.m. with another exciting edition of The Pulse. Let's talk showbiz is up next on your television. You have a good evening.